With federal and presidential leadership, we will work with state governments to make sure that people are released from jail under strong supervision, that they get the kind of job training and education they need so they can return to their communities.
It's 10:05 on KGO. Good evening. I'm Pat Thurston. John Rothman here in studio with me. Those were two clips from tonight's Democratic debate, which took place in Brooklyn, New York. They were talking about the crime bill. Now, one thing that we did not hear in that clip, but was an important comment that Bernie Sanders made directed toward Hillary Clinton, had to do. And I think the question, and John, help me with this. I think the question was posed to him about the use of the term super predator that Hillary Clinton had
used. She used the term super predator. She was
years
accused
ago
of making a racist comment.
And he said that it was a racially charged word or code or something like that,
correct,
right? Okay.
Correct.
So this discussion of the crime bill, this is kind of a big discussion. What impact, if any, do you think that crime bill and Hillary Clinton's use of the term super predator may have on African-American voters in New York?
I don't think the term super predator will have an impact today. It's too many years ago. And at the time that it was applied, she was talking about violence that took place in the black community. And I think the simple truth is both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton have said this was a mistake, that it was an unintended consequence of a bill. And we have I'm not making excuses for it, because Hillary Clinton said we've got to make changes. But I don't think it's fair to accuse her of racism. I just don't think it flies, and I don't think black voters will accept that. Bill Clinton made a very clear statement. They didn't believe that by increasing the incarceration, that the bill would increase incarceration rate. It did, unfairly and disproportionately against African Americans.
The new Jim Crow.
That's right. But there were parts of the bill, as Hillary pointed out, that worked very well, including the women in violence section. So you're dealing with the fact that many of these bills are not single issue directed.
Constantly.
They cover a lot of things. And so I really resent, it's not just with Clinton and with Sanders, it's in general, when a person votes for a bill or votes against the bill, and there's a part of the bill that you like and part that you don't like, and you have to decide what to do. It is the problem of putting these bills together. You know what it is? It's like the people who say, well, you voted for that huge spending bill. Well, it may be true, but maybe in that big spending bill was a vital part of an education program.
Right, something that you had to have.
So
you have to have priorities, and that's what compromise is about as well, and it's tough. But, you know, during people sometimes forget that some of these things that were passed during the Clinton administration, things that Hillary Clinton strongly supported, some of these things had extremely detrimental effects later, including the crime bill, including the Welfare Reform Act, including the Telecommunications Act, which you and I suffer under today,
absolutely,
including the repeal of Glass-Steagall. What was that called?
Yes.
Graham Leach Bliley.
Sure. I can go backward and point out administration by administration, Democrats and Republicans. Look, when Jimmy Carter deregulated many of the industries, including the trucking industry, it was terrible. When Ronald Reagan went after the air traffic controllers, you can go down the line on issues like this, and that's what happens when you run for political office.
But they have to be held accountable for that.
Then
it does go to judgment. It does go to priorities.
Right, but it also goes to the fact that if you have to choose between four critical issues, three of which you agree with, one you don't agree with, and it's all in one bill.
Right, and that's why they shouldn't. It seems ridiculous that they have so many things. They have writers that are attached to bills that are idiotic, that have nothing to do with the thrust of the main context of the bill, and that's ridiculous.
But that's how Congress works. And may I also
point out, it's part of their corruption.
May I also point out, though, that if you had everything as a single issue in a bill,
There'd be fewer bills.
Never have enough time to vote on anything.
No, I think that some of those writers would never make it as individual bills.
Of course
they wouldn't have the nerve.
That's why they're writers.
All right, let's go to,
For Congress.
The number is 808810. No, thank you. 808810 is the telephone number, 808-0810. Let's go to Andy. Andy's in Redwood City. Hi, Andy. Welcome to KGO. You're on with John Rothman.
Hi, Pat. Nice to hear you on the air.
Hi, Andy. And thank you. Nice to hear you on the air, too.
Okay, and Mr. Rothman. I just want to make it clear that Ms. Clinton is a DLC right-wing, third-way Democrat. And the Democrats that she supports are going to be Democrats like her, corporatists who have moved the Democratic Party way to the right. Bernie is a traditional Roosevelt Democrat. He's not part of the establishment. He's not a corporatist like Ms. Clinton is. He is a true Democrat in every sense of the word, a Roosevelt Democrat. And you know, I know you don't want to call Ms. Clinton a liar, but how about mendacious, disingenuous, duplicitous? When it came in this debate concerning the Social Security cap, she was all over the map. When it came the time to talk about the $15 minimum wage, she has never been for that, not at all. That was totally duplicitous on her part, saying she supported the workers and the people in the fast food industry. That's baloney. And then saying that fracking is a bridge of sort of fuel, another type
transition,
of energy.
Yeah.
That was baloney, too. And her whole position on Israel, John, I know it makes you very happy because you're a Republican, just like Hillary is still a Republican. She stopped being a Republican in 1968, but in my mind, she's still a Republican, and that's why she went to AIPAC, and that's why she has sworn total fidelity to the Israeli state so she can get those monies from the people like you, John.
All right.
Well, let me very respectfully respond by saying that everyone is entitled to their opinion. Obviously, you and I do not agree on a number of key issues. It's okay.
We do not agree at all.
It's all right. I'm not fighting with you, nor am I saying it in an aggressive fashion. That's what makes the American political system work. And in the end, I believe that when it comes down to Hillary or Trump or Hillary or Cruz, you will vote for Hillary Clinton because you want a Democrat in the White House, not a right-wing Republican.
I am right now going to tell people that if they'd like to see Culture Club, that's Boy George's band. Remember Boy George and Culture Club? It's going to be a great show. It's happening at the Warfield. It's not until August. The show's August 16th, and it's a Tuesday evening. I have two tickets to give away. So if you would like to get tickets to Culture Club, give us a call. See, the tickets to this concert don't go on sale until tomorrow. They're going on sale tomorrow at AXS.com. That's A as in Adam, X as in X-ray, S as in Sierra.com, AXS.com. But if you want to see Culture Club, if you want to get tickets right now, give us a call. We'll take the first caller at 415-995-6873. That's 415-995-6873. This is to see Culture Club. It's August 16th this year. It's a Tuesday evening. Two tickets. They're playing at the Warfield. Tickets don't go on sale until tomorrow at AXS.com. But if you call 415-995-6873, if you are the first caller to call that number, you're going to win tickets right now before the tickets even go on sale. So, John, he brought up the issue, and we're going to have to go to this issue of Israel. And I got to tell you, this is one of the most difficult issues for me to talk about on the air. It's one of the most difficult issues for me to talk about publicly. And when we come back, we're going to play some clips from Senator Sanders and from Secretary Clinton on Israel and Netanyahu, and I think AIPAC may be included in this. And we're going to talk about what this is going to mean to the primary and why Bernie's answer will be considered so offensive.
Yes. We will.
To American Jews.
Good.
Okay. 888-10 is our telephone number, 808-0810. You can participate in this. John Rothman is my guest. I'm Pat Thurston, and I'm in for Drex, and you are listening to KGO.
Of course, Israel has a right to defend itself. But long term, there will never be peace in that region unless the United States plays a role, an even-handed role, trying to bring people together and recognizing the serious problems that exist among the Palestinian people.
I don't know how you run a country when you are under constant threat. Terrorist attack, rockets coming at you. You have a right to defend yourself. That does not mean that you don't take appropriate precautions.
It's 10:18 on KGO. Good evening. I'm Pat Thurston. John Rothman is here with me. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, when they were squaring off at the CNN Democratic presidential debate in Brooklyn, New York, they were sparring over the question of peace in the Middle East and how to bring calm to Israel and Palestine, or the Palestinians. I'm not sure what they call that area right now. Do they actually call it Palestine, or is it still just Gaza?
No, there is no Palestinian nation. No, they're... You have to understand the Palestinian Authority controls the West Bank. Hamas controls Gaza. So there is no unity among the Palestinians. But there is no Palestinian state. There is a Palestinian Authority and there's Hamas.
Okay. And so the big thing, and we just heard what they had to say, but there was so much more there. And I think, and you again, John, you're so familiar with this issue and particularly with the Jewish community here and in New York that you can help me to understand this. What Bernie Sanders just said, I can't hear anything there that would be in any way offensive. But he did also say in his statements that he believed that in 2014, Israel's response into Gaza was disproportionate. In the interview that he did with the New York Daily News, he cited incorrectly and said when he was doing it that he might be incorrect about the numbers, but he thought that there were about 10,000 people who had been killed. There weren't. There were over 1,000 people. But he said even that number, he said it was a disproportionate response that Israel had to the attacks that had been made by Hamas. Is that offensive?
Yes.
Why?
Because rockets were raining down on Israel, and the Israelis responded in kind. The fact that, and Hillary pointed this out, Hamas launched rockets from hospitals, from mosques, from schools. Look, we want there to be a peace agreement in the Middle East. There is no question that whoever the next president is will, as every previous president has done, devote time to it. But the simple truth is you have to have somebody to make peace with. And Hillary Clinton was entirely correct when she pointed out Hamas calls for the destruction of Israel. They're not interested in compromise or negotiation or any discussion. And she was also correct when she points out that Iran continues to provide rockets and weaponry to those radical Islamic forces. So it's a serious problem, and I don't have an answer for it. But I want to be very clear. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton both made clear they support Israel. They support Israel's right to defend itself, and they consider Israel to be an ally of the United States. But it is a question of shades. And clearly, Bernie Sanders tonight did not do himself any good with the Jewish community. It's just that simple. You can argue the merits of the case, but it is true that Jews are particularly sensitive when there is a sense that Israel used disproportionate force. And Bernie Sanders never mentioned the force used against Israel.
What was the force used against Israel? How many people were killed?
Oh, thousands of rockets. If we hadn't provided...
How many people were killed?
The reason there were fewer deaths is because the United States provided Iron Dome, which is a missile defense system. If there had not been a missile defense system, you would have seen thousands die.
Aren't there also the rockets that are fired from Gaza? Aren't they also a whole lot less sophisticated? They don't have the same types of devices to steer them into the areas that are highly populated where they could do much greater damage.
If they hit an apartment building, you will see great damage. One of the key elements here, and Barack Obama saw this when he went to a town in southern Israel, Sderot, where people have 15 seconds to get to a bomb shelter. I was there. I witnessed it. But Barack Obama said very compellingly that if his daughters lived in Sderot, he would want that missile defense system as well. The Israelis are very fortunate that they are able to protect themselves. And I have to tell you bluntly, Hamas has used mosques and schools and hospitals. And the Israelis are not going to allow themselves to be hit while these rockets are flying. But that's part of the question that Bernie Sanders has to answer. Are Jews more sensitive about Israel? You bet. As African Americans are more sensitive about crime, as Hispanic Americans are more sensitive about a wall being built in the South, you bet people are sensitive about particular issues, not just in foreign policy,
but does
but
that
in domestic
mean
policy.
That a presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, lived in a kibbutz? He is a Jewish individual. He has a lot of familiarity with Israel. Does and one of the afterwards, one of the pundits said that this is a really unusual campaign because presidential candidates never, ever, ever do anything except give 100% support to Israel.
That
seems like maybe that's not a good idea. We don't give 100% support to our own leaders.
That commentator was absolutely wrong. Jimmy Carter, as president of the United States, put inordinate pressure on Israel, voted for a Security Council resolution to condemn Israel on the eve of the New York Democratic primary in 1980. It is statements like that that I find so grossly irresponsible. The simple truth is that constituencies in this country have particular interests, that candidates for political office cater to those issues. Criticism of Israel, it's across the board in this country. By the way, I remember John Connolly and his statements back in 1980 when he sought the Republican nomination for president, or Jesse Jackson in 1984, 88, and 92, where there were highly critical statements made about Israel. But one of the things we have to understand is that the overwhelming majority of Americans, as Bernie Sanders said tonight, support Israel's right to exist, support Israel's right to defend itself. And it is a complex issue, but there is clearly a truth, and that is that when you're dealing with an enemy who won't negotiate with you and who calls for your destruction, which is what Hamas does, if I'd been Bernie Sanders, I would have acknowledged that tonight. He didn't. And I think that is one of the key problems that he will have.
What he said was that the response was disproportionate and that we have to understand the humanity of the Palestinian people and that they have a right also to dignity and to life.
And there's not an Israeli who would argue with that, but I will say
well,
this
there
very,
are some.
No, I'm sorry. Absolutely
no, there,
not
there
true.
Are, I have heard is, stories is, about some if, of the settlers if, and some of the things no, that no, they have perpetrated against Palestinian children.
Forgive me for saying this, but when rockets fly into your home or when there are knife attacks in Jerusalem, random knife attacks, it is a terrible burden.
Of course
to carry.
It is. Of course
and
it
I
is.
I would tell you that it is not a matter of, in my judgment in any case, of it being equal opportunity responsibility.
Well, but that's not the same thing. I mean, I was just making the point that you can't say flat out that all Israelis respect the dignity and
that?
The life of Palestinians.
Who said that?
Actually, a former Israeli soldier told me that.
Well, let me tell you,
when he was
you
stationed
certainly...
in the area of the settlements yeah. and the things that he was required to do and the protection that he was required to give to the settlers, even when they were the aggressors against these children,
Let me answer you very clearly. I understand that there are injustices on the ground.
Yes,
we are talking about a candidate for president of the United States.
Right.
Who made an observation tonight about Israel and disproportionate response and never took into account the rockets that fly into Israel, nor the knife attacks which take place on the streets of Israel, nor the fact that Gaza is controlled by Hamas, which is a radical Islamic group committed to Israel's destruction. Now, I say this because that, and if I say it with emotion, it is because...
But boys, does that mean that since Hamas is the government in Gaza... Does that mean that the Gazan people are not entitled to that humanity
absolutely,
and respect?
Absolutely
and
not.
And you never answered the question, what was the
you're
death
right.
count in 2014
oh,
from the Hamas rockets compared to yeah. the you're, deaths that the Palestinians
you are
suffered?
You're absolutely right when you say that there is a situation that exists in Gaza, which is unfortunate, not created by Israel, which withdrew all of its settlers, all of the settlements from Gaza, turned it over to the Palestinians, as Hillary pointed out tonight. Now, we're not here to debate the Arab-Israeli conflict,
no.
but I want to be crystal clear on this. The reason there were not a lot of Israeli casualties is because the United States of America probably very few.
Right.
But the point is, the Israelis don't put their rockets in the middle of schools and mosques and hospitals. And one of the tragedies in the Middle East is that Hamas does do that.
And right. Continued destruction, though, of the of people and innocent people.
Hamas
and
is responsible. Hamas
no, Israel is also responsible.
No, I'm sorry. When you put
no, it, Israel is responsible
Pat,
for the deaths
Pat,
that they
a
caused.
Rocket, if a rocket fired into San Francisco,
yeah,
would we not respond?
Of course we would.
And that's precisely
but
what Israel
But there is such
did.
A thing as a disproportionate response.
Excuse
and
me.
That's what...
When you say that's an interesting word, disproportionate. I want you to think about it. If you have rockets being fired from schools and mosques and hospitals, what is proportionate? Do you not hit those targets? And Hamas
Possibly.
Doesn't... Well, I wouldn't say
I don't
say,
know. I mean,
I do
possibly.
Know. I do
but,
know.
But, you, but John,
because I want you,
you
to
can't
want,
say that because they launch an attack and you even say it's a handful of people. And so
wait,
over
wait,
a thousand hand? Palestinians are killed
if,
in the response.
If Hamas launches rockets, you have to fire back at the rockets.
You know what, though, John? There are engagement. There are rules of engagement.
And Hamas
there
is
have
violated.
To be rules
Hamas
of engagement.
Has violated every single one. But hold
and
on.
As,
hold on.
As
let's
has
go back.
Israel.
No, I don't agree. But let's go back to the politics. We can disagree. The politics is, if you hear the emotion in my voice,
yeah.
The passion that I feel,
right.
Voters in New York's Democratic primary who have that attachment to Israel mm-hmm. will feel exactly the same way. And that is why Bernie Sanders tonight inflicted a wound on himself. It doesn't mean you can't be critical of Israel. Quite the contrary. I'm critical of many Israeli policies. It doesn't mean you can't be sympathetic to the Palestinians. But what Bernie Sanders did tonight was to alienate a constituency. Just as surely as if you make a statement that offends African Americans or Hispanics or any ethnic group, and that is precisely what Bernie Sanders did tonight.
And that's unfortunate because, you know, it seems like, to me, it seems reasonable to say that it takes, that, you know, if you really do want peace, when innocents are killed, that's not the way to achieve that peace. And Gaza, as it has been described to me today, sounds very much like an open-air prison.
Israel withdrew.
The life of the Palestinians there is miserable.
Israel withdrew 21 settlements. 8,500 settlers, turned it over to the Palestinians. Do you know how Hamas took over?
And cut things off.
You know, no. Do you know how Hamas took over in Gaza? Hamas had a revolution, and they took Palestinian Authority officials and threw them off 15-story buildings and executed them in the middle of town. And was there any objection? Was there any denunciation? Hamas, you must understand this. And that's why
I'm sure there was denunciation.
That's, no,
John.
There wasn't. Go
there
back and take
had
a look.
To be.
I'm sorry.
I
there
mean,
was
you know, maybe
deafening,
people didn't. But
there was
the people
deafening,
there who were afraid they'd be thrown off of.
There was a.
But I thought they
silence.
Won in a democratic election.
No, there was a revolution, and the Palestinian Authority was booted out. Now Hamas did win in terms of seats in the Palestinian Parliament, but today there are two separate operations. One is the Palestinian Authority on the West Bank,
right.
And the other is Hamas in Gaza. And by the way, they fight each other. They don't talk to each other. So when I say this to you, or they talk, but it breaks down. But do you understand, I didn't come here to talk Middle East. We can do it, and I'm happy to do it. But I'm pointing out to you that the emotion that is raised on
right.
this is what is critical in the New York Democratic
And I agree.
Primary.
I agree. I mean, this is what I wanted to talk about. And the reason I wanted to wait to go into this hour to open this is because I know, it, like I said at the beginning, it's so hard to talk about. Because
no, it's easy.
It's hard for me.
Okay.
And the reason is because I think Bernie Sanders is right. And I consider myself to be a very strong supporter of Israel. But I do not support a lot of what I see happening in Gaza.
All I ask
particular.
Is that you take a look at what Hamas has done in Gaza, and you condemn that as disproportionate in terms of the brutality and the rule of force which takes place there. We don't. The emphasis is on Israel. If you're going to really judge...
No, we do as a nation. We most certainly
if
do.
You really, not Hamas.
No, we don't
if
give any
really,
support to Hamas. We give a lot of support to Israel.
It's very interesting when you point that out, because you're correct. We don't support Hamas for a reason.
Exactly.
Hamas is a terrorist organization.
But you just
organization.
Said we give all our support. We don't support Hamas. We don't support them at all. We support Israel.
Oh, may I explain to you? I'm sorry if you misunderstood me. Hamas receives massive support from Iran, which I mentioned earlier. and from the Muslim Brotherhood. And one of the very interesting elements here is that, again, it is the dichotomy in terms of who supports which side in the conflict. In the end, the United States should be the bridge which brings about a peaceful resolution. And as Hillary Clinton pointed out, and properly so, she participated in the negotiations which right. led to the ceasefire in Gaza, and that was a very important and constructive step. So one of the things you have to consider with Hillary Clinton, which I think is very important, is her diplomatic experience. She does not use expressions or form in relation to the Arab-Israeli conflict which raise hackles, and that is going to be critical in the New York Democratic primary.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get some phone calls on this. And, you know, we really are not debating the Middle East. What we're really talking about is what Bernie Sanders said today. Is it insulting and offensive to the demographic that he should be attempting to appeal to in the New York Democratic primary? A large portion of the people who are going to be voting are Jewish people who are strong supporters of Israel. And, you know, John knows, and his emotion is probably a fraction of what you would hear from the people who are going to be casting their votes in New York. 888-10 is the telephone number. I'm Pat Thurston. He's John Rothman. This is KGO.
Better living, better world. The next generation of KGO 810.
I support our continuing involvement in NATO, and it is important to ask for our NATO allies to pay more of the cost. There is a requirement that they should be doing so, and I believe that needs to be enforced.
I do think countries like Germany and UK and France and European countries whose economy, or at least its standard of living and healthcare and education, they're doing pretty well. So I would not be embarrassed as President of the United States to say to our European allies, you know what? The United States of America cannot just support your economies. You got to put up your own fair share of the defense burden.
Good evening. It's 10:38 on KGO. I'm Pat Thurston. John Rothman is here in studio with me. We're going to get to your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. We're going to quickly just run through a couple of the other topics that were discussed this evening, and then we'll go right to the phones. And what you just heard were Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on NATO. John?
Bernie Sanders sounded like Donald Trump on NATO. It's an argument which is made that we're spending too much on the defense of NATO. Hillary answered by saying NATO is essential to our national security, and it depends on which side you come down. But the simple truth is that if we press the Europeans for more money for NATO, we threaten their economies, and the collapse of the European economies would be far worse. I'd remind you the World Bank is already concerned about a number of European states, and so that's a real issue. But the improvement and importance of NATO, particularly as we confront Putin's Russia, cannot be underestimated. And that, again, is a very interesting dichotomy. But curious that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump's voters are both very angry, and it happens when it comes to NATO, they're angry on the same issue, which is not a surprise necessarily.
All right. How about Libya?
Hillary Clinton passed the responsibility for Libya on to Barack Obama, saying the president of the United States is responsible. It is very clear, and was very clear to us over a long time, that if you remove Gaddafi, there will be chaos in Libya. And despite her talks about elections and democracy, there is neither a sense of democracy nor real elections in Libya. It's a serious problem because Islamic State forces, ISIS, ISIL, are now deeply involved in Libya, and it represents a real threat. The question you got to ask is, would we be better off with a barbarian like Gaddafi? And tragically, and I say this advisedly, we probably would have been.
Yeah. You and I have gone over this before when we talked about
Iraq and Saddam Hussein.
And we talked about Saddam Hussein and also Assad.
Yep, and the Shah of Iran.
And the Shah of Iran. We've talked
about
Mubarak a lot
of this. And Mubarak in Egypt.
Yeah, Mubarak, exactly. 888-10 is the telephone number. One other thing, and then we'll get phone calls, and that is climate change. You know, one of the areas where Bernie has been hitting Hillary Clinton is fracking. And that she has promoted fracking around the globe, an alternative, she says, something that can transition us into renewable energy.
Let's separate two issues. One is fracking. The other is the agreement that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton negotiated that included China and India. Quite remarkable. Look, global warming, and Bernie Sanders is absolutely right on this, is the major issue. We understand that within the next generation, the global warming, the rise of the seas, all of this will impact us profoundly. Hillary Clinton's argument is she got something done. Bernie Sanders is simply using rhetorical devices. The simple answer is we need a united policy. And if you want to see a clear policy difference between Democrats and Republicans, the answer is on global warming.
Yeah.
The Republicans,
and it's
gotta
happen.
Republicans are in complete denial.
And I think Bernie's right that we got to be bold on this. You know that I just had a root canal. I have the most marvelous dentist. I love this guy so much. He's a world traveler. He's just an amazing man. He thinks he's a Republican. I think I'm talking him out of it.
He'll let you talk in the chair, right?
But one of the things that he does is he dives. He scuba dives all around the world. And but, you know, he's a great guy. I mean, he performs dentistry in places where they've never seen dentistry forever, and he does it all for free, and he's just incredible. So anyway, he was saying that he went diving, I think he said in Burma, or off Burma, and he said that he was horrified, and he thought it must have been pollution because the reefs were white and dead. And he said then he went into some other areas, and he was saying the same thing. And the Great Barrier Reef right now, they're having these problems, and that it's the result of the increase of the temperature because they're so sensitive. These reefs are so sensitive that a reef will die in 2 weeks. A reef that's taken a couple hundred years to grow will die in 2 weeks. And it's frightening, John, that global climate change may well be causing our oceans to die.
Bring it right here to San Francisco and the great debate now over the seawall that protects the whole shoreline here in San Francisco. All I can tell you is, with all of the debate between Republicans and Democrats on many issues, there is no more clearly defining issue than global warming. The Republicans deny global warming as a reality. The Democrats at least admit it. And I'm going to tell you, I happen to agree with Hillary Clinton's approach of negotiation, getting the world involved, but I also agree with Bernie Sanders. The difference is that we cannot simply rhetorically or, frankly, with American power, impose on the world our solution. And that's why I would like to match Bernie's rhetoric, which I think is reasonable, with Hillary's diplomatic skills to tackle the problem, which, frankly, may overwhelm all of the rest of the problems.
Across the globe.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phones. And we did take that little time out, but it's time for us to go back to the phones on this. Let's start with Sonora in Oakland. Sonora, hi, welcome to KGO. You're on with Pat and John. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having this great show.
You bet.
I only had one thing to say, but then as you guys kept talking, I had two more things to add.
Good. That's what talk radio is all about.
So I did listen to the debates, and I agreed with about 99.9% of what Bernie Sanders said. It totally made sense to me. And Bernie Sanders, I felt like, you know, he was being totally courageous for being honest about the Israeli-Palestine issue. I feel like Hillary will say anything and promise anything to win an election. This is just my observations. And right now, Israeli settlers, they have committed atrocities. That's just fact. And they have friends from Europe. And they are pretty much, it seems like, more well-informed than Americans. But at any rate, they've also committed atrocities and held Ethiopian immigrants, thousands of them, into detention centers and raided their
businesses. Excuse me, not Ethiopian immigrants. There are detention centers for the Africans who are pouring into Israel because no one else will give them shelter. And the Israelis have put them in detention centers. I was in Tel Aviv recently. There are massive numbers of these people who have fled to Israel
I have to disagree with that because I understand part of the language, and I literally, the Israeli leader basically said, this is several months ago and a little over a year ago when I heard it the first time, where they said, Ethiopians are one of the immigrants that were called on being a cancer to Israeli society when they were shot. They said, wow, this didn't happen to us before. But after the 2008 crash, things turned ugly for the settlers and people were very...
I can only tell you, with all due respect, I disagree. We don't have time to argue the issue, but I can tell you that Ethiopian Jews found a home in Israel and were saved from that. The Israelis absorbed over 40,000 immigrants from Ethiopia. And it is a testimony to the fact that Israel is a multicultural society. I was just in Israel in December. I can tell you I witnessed it myself. And I know what you're talking about. You're talking about African immigrants who were put in detention centers. And frankly, they're trying to figure out what to do with this massive number of refugees. But it's okay. I don't mind that you disagree. It's all right. Happy to have the discussion.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm Pat Thurston. He's John Rothman. You're listening to KGO. It's 10:49 on KGO. Good evening. I'm Pat Thurston. Yeah, it's an extended version of the Drex show, except I'm Pat Thurston filling in for Drex during a time when it's usually the John Batchelor show. And John Rothman is here in studio with me. And if you're not confused enough, we're talking about the Democratic primary race and the debate that took place tonight in Brooklyn.
And, of course, the vote in New York is on Tuesday. Critical for both Democrats and Republicans. For Hillary Clinton, it's critical in terms of what she does in terms of popular vote, but delegate-wise, really doesn't matter. And from the point of view of the Republicans, for Donald Trump, it's do or die. If he can win over 50%, he gets the entire New York delegation.
And Bernie, of course, if he sweeps, then that's going to put a whole new face on it.
If he sweeps, if he really wins.
If he sweeps,
big,
you have to roll a peanut down Market Avenue with your nose.
I have to buy you a hamburger. But
oh, that's
if Hillary is nominated,
I
get a turkey sandwich.
All right. All right, let's go back to the phones. Jack is calling from San Diego. Hey, Jack, welcome to KGO.
Well, look, I think... Bernie opened up something by bringing Israel into this, and he didn't realize it, and so I'm going to take it there.
Okay.
First of all, I agree with what he said, that it was a disproportionate response. And, in fact, my memory is that Israel actually ran out of bombs, and that Congress, before they went on vacation, did an emergency appropriation of funding so that they would be able to pay to be resupplied with bombs.
No, Israel had enough bombs. What Congress did was to permit the continual supply for the missile defense system. That was what was critical.
So here's where Bernie, I think, missed the boat, is I would have argued that Israel is not doing, that this is part of the war on terror, and Israel is not doing anything that the United States is not doing. I would argue that the United States has had a disproportionate response in the Middle East. For example, we have dropped over 300,000 bombs on Iraq. And where I would have taken this argument is there's got to be a better way to fight the war on terror, because bombs alone is not only not winning the war on terror, when you bomb somebody out of their home, which is both what the United States and Israel is doing, when you kill people's relatives, you're creating more terrorists. We have to talk about a better way to fight the war on terror. And I would also like to say we have to also bring into this debate, how do we end the war on terror? Because right now we're in a perpetual war, and I don't like that situation, and we shouldn't accept that.
And I wish that they would talk more about that as well, the war on terror when it comes to the debates. It's almost like it's just an accepted fact of life these days, and they don't really talk about the specifics and what we need to do and what we don't need to do, and if maybe we can bring that war to an end and do things that's more successful.
I agree. I was disappointed tonight in the nature of the foreign policy questions when it comes to terror, because that really is the pressing issue.
Let's go to Jim in Concord. Jim, hi. Welcome to KGO. You're on with John Rothman and Pat. Go ahead.
Always interesting with you two. And you're all over the place, even though you're trying to stay focused, which is a perfect mirror of the campaign. So, okay, this is what I think. I think that Bernie Sanders said something very appropriate. A lot of people don't want to hear it. I'm of Jewish heritage. I don't live in New York. But I agree, and it's not going to turn me off. I mean, I do believe that Israel has a right to exist, period. But that doesn't mean you don't negotiate, and it certainly doesn't mean you respond to stuff and really just unnecessarily kill people. It's just not appropriate.
I don't.
Right.
May I say? I don't think. I don't think they do it unnecessarily. But I agree. I agree with your.
Excuse me. And that's good.
No, hold on.
I
agree. I agree with your fundamental premise. There should be negotiation, and I believe negotiation is very important, and I favor negotiation. That's why Mahmoud Abbas is sitting down with the Israelis most of the time, but Hamas won't, and there's a severe difference that needs to be understood and appreciated.
Well, there's always a boss, so, too. So, I mean, you know,
that's what I just said, a boss, the Palestinian Authority.
You can start negotiating. Well, Hamas, look, let's not go down the rabbit hole. This problem can be solved. But what I want to get to is that what you all were talking about was about global warming. That is the issue. Mm-hmm. We are wasting our time on these issues that we think are so unsolvable, like the Middle East, like fracking and all that stuff, like the budget. That is all just those are dangerous distractions. We are global warming is the issue of.
No, I get what you're saying, because that's a matter of survival. You know, if we don't figure this out and if we don't take aggressive action with this, there won't be any other debates that can take place. There won't be a need for any other discussion. Thank you so much, Jim. Let's go now to Robert. He's calling from Dublin. Robert, hi. Welcome to KGO. You're on with John Rothman and Pat.
Hi. I hope you can hear me. I'm calling from a cell phone.
We can hear you very well.
Okay, great. I've been following this whole thing since the 1950s. You know, I read magazines and newspapers. And, you know, my take on it is, why is Hamas firing these rockets from hospitals and schools and mosques? I mean, it's very obvious that they are trying to maximize civilian casualties so they can go running to the rest of the world and say, look at those terrible Israelis. Look at what they did. They don't care about their own people. Their own people are just pawns. They have an agenda. They're fanatics. And when you're a fanatic, the end justifies the means. You know, somebody's threatening your family or shooting rockets at you, you're not going to – you have two choices. You can shoot back and stop it, or you can get killed. And they're backing the Israelis into a corner where they have to hit those areas that have a lot of people, and it is going to maximize casualties, but it's either them or us. You know, that's what the Israelis you know, from their point of view, and it's very obvious why Hamas is doing that. They want to get world opinion against Israel by saying, look at 3,000 people are dead, and look at all these children are dead. Well, of course, if you put the rockets at schools, but what are the Israelis supposed to do? Not hit back and just be slaughtered or just have their own people killed? That's one thing. The other thing is that the Palestinians, the PLO, Arafat turned down a deal where they would have had their own homeland. They would have had Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. And Bill Clinton tried to pull that through and negotiate that, and Arafat turned it down.
Yeah. Again, we're not going to go through the whole Middle East thing. We're not going to solve that tonight, and we're not even discussing that in its entirety. We are talking about this in relation to the debate. And so your first comment is totally pertinent to that. And the thing that I think of is if there is a hostage situation and there are, you know, really horrible bad guys, let's say that we had ISIS who had taken over, I don't know, some orphanage or something in the United States or in Mexico or someplace that we actually care about, we wouldn't just bomb it. We would try to find some other way to deal with any attacks that they were mounting from that location. I don't think we would just bomb it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
take a look
would.
At what happened on September 11th, Pat. That's precisely what we did. We responded because we were attacked.
We didn't do it on September 11th. September 11th happened.
We responded.
And then we responded by going into Afghanistan.
That's exactly my point. That's
and we
exactly
didn't go
it.
Into Afghanistan with shock and awe, though. We went into Afghanistan in order to rout al-Qaeda. And the reason we invaded Afghanistan was because we were trying to work with the Taliban, who were supposed to assist us, and they refused. George Bush gave them a deadline when they didn't meet I supported the invasion of Afghanistan.
That's exactly my point. Thank
you. It's not the same thing.
I'm telling you that from the perspective of a response, a massive response, that is precisely what we did and what we would do in the face of a terrorist attack. I have no doubt about it.
But we didn't. We didn't just go in and start bombing villages. We didn't just start bombing people. We went in and we went into where al-Qaeda was, where their caves were.
Not
we
that
didn't
I wanted
go
to base the Middle East, but that is precisely what
hospitals.
That is precisely what the Israelis did. They went after Hamas.
Yeah, and we did go into Iraq for no good reason whatsoever with shock
That's
and awe and killed a hell of a lot of people, which was incredibly disproportionate and, in my view, a war crime. We're out of time. John Rothman,
we'll
do this again.
Well, just remember, everybody, New York